Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast with your hosts, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Liftoff Jets. You can also find us wherever you find your podcasts at Spotify, Amazon, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio. And you can also find us on Twitter. Sharman, you can follow at GrownFolk1980. You can follow myself at CP7NY. And you could also find us on SportsWire Radio at sportsanarium.com/player. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at Thomas Bryce 2017, for all the other scheduling of the other great shows. So, Sharman, we got some good news today. We finally got a center, right? Big news today. No.
Yes.
We do. That was big news, yes. Right?
Signing. That was pretty big news, yes. it's a kind of a, I think people kept saying over and over again how surreal this is. Yeah. I walk to work every day with either my Jets hoodie and my Jets hat. I daily wear one every day. Nobody notices that I have a Jets hat on or that I have a Jets hoodie on. This morning, I bought three different people and I walked from my car a half a block to the stairs into the building and construction guys was like, oh yeah, they got Aaron Rodgers. I heard him say it, but he didn't talk to me, so I wasn't going to respond. And then like halfway through the door of the building, the lady walked up to me, you guys got Aaron Rodgers, huh? And then I got in, and then the security guard says something. And I'm like, wait, I wear my Jet stuff every day. Nobody says a thing to me.
Now?
Everybody cares, because now the Jets are relevant in everybody's minds, you know, and not just ours, because we're fans. But it just goes to show you what basically the legitimacy of this player, right? What he brings. I wish I could actually describe what that felt like watching him talk with the Jets shirt on in the middle of Salah and Joe Douglas, in between Salah and Joe Douglas. That was something else, man. And I think he did such a great job at answering a lot of the questions. I think he was thoroughly prepared for what the media was going to throw at him. And he had really good answers for all the questions. And he was so honest, in my opinion, that he kind of just killed the bite some of those questions would have. You know, if you kind of put them in context, what the issue was with him and the Packers or whatever, he was being honest. And even if the answer he did give about the one about, he was asked about Brian Gutekunst, who is the GM for the Green Bay Packers, reaching out and couldn't get in touch with him. And he said, well, I live in a pretty big house and my cell service is kind of messed up. So, you can't just, reach out. You have to call or FaceTime me or something like that. He's saying, and phones have records and I don't have any record of anybody reaching out to me, which sounds like to me, like, I don't care what he says, even if he's trying to be, as gracious as possible to say that he loves every minute of his moments with the Packers and he respects everybody over there. I think he hated the fact that he knew they were planning to move on, that they basically never included him more in the process. I think he hated that. I think that's probably one of the reasons why, he feels he has, I know Scott Mason, Play Like a Jet, he says he feels like Aaron Rodgers is basically wanted to stick it to Gutekunst and the Packers. I don't know if it's that extreme. I think there is an element of that, of course. Most right. definitely, you do. You're not that ultra competitive person like he is. You don't not acquire that kind of skill, not to, you know, stick it to people once in a while. So, I definitely like that. But again, like I said, hell of a an interview, hell of a first day as a Jet quarterback, man. Just surgical the way he answered all the questions, and he basically kind of just deftly disarmed a lot of the Jets media that the big bad wolf, you know, that he basically came in and he was like, shut up, stop.
Yeah, no, he handled it as good as possible, right?
Yes, he did.
It couldn't have been handled any better. And some of the comments, mm-hmm. I actually saved a couple of them that I seen online. I was like, we may as well read them off. Basically, the team is in great shape. I just need to come in and play good football. We saw last year when they came to Lambeau and dominated us on defense, just how special that group is. When asked about not wearing number 12, he said, to me, 12 is Broadway Joe, and I didn't even want to go down that path.
Mm.
And he said, you know, I have no problem going back to my college number 8. It's going to be an exciting journey. Just to be part of that is amazing. To be a part of getting this team back to where it deserves would be legendary. That's what I think. That's what I think what we all want to be about is legendary things.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm going to put it to you this way. If you're a Jets fan and you're not, like, you know, having butterflies in your stomach, listening to one of the best quarterbacks to ever play football talk about how legendary he's trying to make your team, I don't know what kind of team you are. I don't know what kind of fan you are.
And you know what? The better thing he said too was, this isn't a one and done in my mind. This is a commitment. Mm. So that sounds at least 2 years. That'd mm-hmm. be great. But you know what? I'm not even thinking about 2024, no. 25. I'm thinking about this year. Let's just get this year. And because we don't know what's going to happen this year and how it's going to end, how it's going to, you know, like, let's just worry about this year. You know, we got the draft coming up this week. Let's talk about, you know.
Yeah, that's I think that's the conversation here, right? The conversation is, we got this guy in house.
Right.
Moving that forward, let's do what we got to do now. You know, we cannot do like Green Bay and miss the opportunity to do everything we can as an organization to put every bit of talent that we can to surround this guy and help push the team as far as it could go. I think that's where the conversation should lie. But just to spend a little bit longer on just the talking points, like you said, I think he did an even better job on the Michael Kay Show talking about he kind of put a hammer to a lot of the nail, you know, questions. It's almost like, you know, there was preliminary excitement and to the answers that he gave in the press conference. But in the Michael Kay Show interview, he kind of stressed the point of being, of what it means to take on the challenge of being the Jets quarterback. And he's not talking about just playing in New York, but what it would mean historically for the franchise and what it would mean for the fan base. He had the point, he made the point of saying that New York fans on the whole, not just Jets fans, if you're the Knicks fan, if you're a Yankees fan, if whoever you are, you expect a specific amount of greatness for your team, and you don't take nothing other than that. And he thinks that's the best thing in the world, because who likes a fan base that's like, oh, well, let's just go win one or two games. You know, it's not, you know, he's like, that's not what it's about. You know, he's like, it's about being the best and doing the best. And the New York fans expect the best. And he was also asked about the, like I said, the historical ramifications of basically taking, making this team a contender, and not only a contender, but possibly a Super Bowl winner. And he was asked if that's like slaying the dragon. And he was like, I don't want to slay the dragon. I want to be the dragon. I don't care what, man, listen, I wanted to get off the seat. And I was driving. Because in my opinion, I've said it over and over again, but to me, he said it better than I could ever have said it. This is, if you're a fan of an of organization or sports team, that's what you want to be. You want to be the big, bad, scary person, scary team. Everybody's coming to New York to play New York, and they're like, oh, shit. We're playing the New York Jets. Man, listen, you better, if your belt is tightened at 32 inches, you better tighten that at 30, because we coming. You know what I mean? Yep. And when he said that, it just really, you know what I mean? It mattered to me that he said that, because I think more than anything that mattered, that really, really, you know, went somewhere for me, man. That was important to me to hear.
What? This is something we haven't had this kind of attitude or what's the right word? The feeling that we're gonna win since the Rex Ryan 2009, yeah. You know, those years. That's how long it's been since we've had this going into the season. Like we've had going into the season, like, okay, you know, if everything works right, if Sam, you know, progresses, or if Zach progresses, maybe we'll be good. Maybe if this works out. No. Like, we're going in as, you know, I don't care what anybody says, but we're going in as a Super Bowl contending team. This isn't a team that's just going to make the playoffs. This is a Super Bowl contending team. It's as simple as that. And the last time we felt this way was 2010.
I love you, my man. You're my guy. But I will withhold my Super Bowl conversation for a minute.
Because I'm not saying we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm saying we're contenders now. We're contenders.
I think we're NFL contenders.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I agree there.
Because we still got to get past that guy that plays in Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. So even if we
get he has a guy that's right on his heels in Joe Burrow that's not a slouch.
Right.
You know.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying we're guaranteeing a Super Bowl. I'm saying we're in a conversation now. Without you know, Aaron Rodgers, we're not in that conversation.
No.
Like if we traded for a decent veteran, like let's say Tannehill, right? Because that sounded like that was our plan B. If we picked him up, we're a playoff team, but I wouldn't say, oh, we got a shot at the Super Bowl now. No.
Right.
No, because we've seen what Tannehill does in the playoffs. We've seen him be a decent quarterback, good enough to get you there, but not enough to get you, you know, to get you past that. But with Aaron Rodgers, we got a guy that could go toe-to-toe with Mahomes, with Burrow, with whoever, Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, all the big-time quarterbacks. We got a guy that could do that. We haven't had that guy. And even going back before Sanchez. Sanchez wasn't a guy that could go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. He couldn't handle these guys. Our defense could, but not our quarterback. Now we got a quarterback that could go up against this guy. You know, I'm not saying we're going to beat that team, you know, but I'm saying at least we got a shot.
We got a shot. All right. Well, you know, I apologize for misconstruing your words.
That's
but
okay. No.
You know, I seriously, because I've been kind of fighting that a little bit with certain people talking about the Super Bowl and the conversation around the Super Bowl. Because one of the reasons why I have is because I've been, I think as fans we've watched enough football to understand that a great team from a year ago could be a mediocre team the next year. you got to be very careful and specific in adding, subtracting, or adding to the subtractions of players that you that happens yearly. And when you tell me we've lost rankings inside, and you know, and rankings had a hell of a year last year. I think his play contributed in a lot of ways to the reason why the defense was as good as it was. I think Shepard's loss, even if I think he is a replaceable player, is something that we still haven't replaced that bothers me. Right now, presently constituted, the defensive line needs run stopping. Presently, our middle linebacker is a good player, but you can't honestly say that he's a better player than he was last year. Guess what? Because you could tell that he's lost a step.
Right.
You know, and you know, so many ways teams took advantage of the fact that he's lost a step, pairing him with running backs that would basically get a step on him, and a lot of times he would be out of position because of that. We still haven't re-signed Quan Alexander, who was in a lot of ways an injection of energy to that linebacking core, you know. And at safety, even if we got Clark, is he the answer to everything that ailed the safety room last year? So we have questions here. We have questions.
But you can say that about every team. Not every team is perfectly built right now.
Very, very. Yeah. and I'll make a point just to back up what you just said. Right? Who are the wide receivers for the Chiefs right now?
Right.
There you go.
Exactly.
Not saying that whoever it is going to be, that beast of a quarterback is not going to turn them into a problem anyway, because he will. But I'm just saying. That's why I think what you said after I said what I said, basically saying, yes, the fact that we're contending to be there, but this is not a guaranteed spot. We're not going to the Super Bowl. This is not the conversation. The conversation is, for the first time in a long time, you better come with it. You know, buckle that damn chin strap, because you ain't just walking through, you know, one just drive. You know, it's not happening. And barring injury, this team is gonna, and the one thing that has been pretty consistent with this team since Salah has taken over as a coach is they play hard from snap to the end of the game. Everybody says it and you see it. And I'm saying that people feel it. I think I've heard a few Buffalo Bills players talk about it. I've heard a few ex-Patriots players talk about it, about the fact that even when they played the Packers, a few Packers players talk about it, that, hey, man, if you do not bring it, you know, you likely to be lost playing the Jets, because they play hard nonstop. And that, in my opinion, that's a problem. That's a problem for everybody, because you put that and you add on top of that an MVP type player like Aaron Rodgers is. And yeah, you got a contending team. And I agree with you on that.
Yeah. And listen, there's still work to be done. I'm totally with you. And right. And we've been talking about it for the last few weeks that, okay, we got to get, you know, and we got a lot of work to be done, and there was nothing done for the past couple of weeks because they were waiting for this trade to go through. So now I would expect to see some movement. And we did see some movement this week already with Connor McDermott, McGovern being signed, for center. So we actually got a center now. Before this week, we didn't have a center on our team. So I thought that was pretty important when he was signed, and he actually signed for very little, which is even better.
Was crazy, from going from $9 million to like 1.8, 1.9 or something
That was insane. I still can't believe it, you know, but I guess his market wasn't that up there. Between the market drying up for him, number one, and number two, he knew who the quarterback was going to be. So he was like, yo, I'll take my chances. You know, I'll go for a little less. And, hey, maybe we'll make a run. You never know.
Yep. Yeah.
Listen, 2 years ago was the perfect example of if everything goes right, you have a shot. If you have the quarterback, if you have the pieces in place, right?
Mm.
Look at what, and there was the same two teams that were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, Rams and the Bengals. Everything had to go perfect for them. Everything.
It did.
And everything it did. Right? Because then the next year, maybe not so perfect for them, right? Especially for the Rams. The Rams, everything went to hoop really fast. But the Bengals, you know, they still had a really good season, but they just couldn't finish. They just couldn't finish, right? Well, who did they lose to in the playoffs? Did they lose to Kansas City? They lose this past year?
Who, City? The Bengals?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They lost
right, Kansas City, right.
Yeah.
So, listen, if things go right, yeah, we're going to have a shot. Like last year, if we had Ryan Tannehill as our quarterback, we would have been in the playoffs. I don't know how far we would have got, but we would have been in the playoffs last year. I mean, we would have won at least three more games with an average quarterback. Mm-hmm. We just didn't have, you know, we had a guy who couldn't even throw a screen pass, you know? But now we got a guy that could go toe-to-toe with the best of them. Can we beat them? I don't know. I don't know if we could beat Kansas. We haven't played Kansas City, right? We haven't played them in a while. We're going to play them this year, though. They're on our schedule, so.
Who's out? Oh, they are? They are, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I was just about to say, I think we're playing the AFC West this year.
Yep. So we got them. You know, we got them. We're going to play Philly also, I think.
Oh, we're playing NFC East, though?
Not the whole division.
Oh, we're just Philly?
Yeah.
Do you know who in the which division we're playing in the NFC?
I think it was the West, wasn't it? We're playing the Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, the Broncos. The AFC West we're playing. The Broncos,
right.
Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers. Mm-hmm. We're playing the Cowboys. Oh, and the NFC East. We're playing the Cowboys, Giants,
NFC
Eagles,
there you go.
And Washington. And we got Houston, and we got Cleveland, and we got Atlanta. So we got the two Super Bowl teams on our schedule.
Damn.
So we're going to know if we're for real or not.
Pretty early.
Hopefully get to the playoffs, we're going to know really early. And obviously we got Buffalo twice, you know. But listen, we beat Buffalo with, who do we have? Zach Wilson quarterbacking for us? So.
Yeah.
Any given Sunday, as they say, right? So I just know at least we're in the conversation. I'm not saying we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm not that crazy. But all I'm saying is, listen, we got a shot now.
Like, yeah, we got a shot, man.
We got a shot.
I
got to
agree with
want.
You on that.
We got a shot. That's all. Before
hey,
him,
man. We got to pray to the football gods that they spare our players.
Right. Spare our players. Just keep us healthy.
Keep us healthy, man.
Just once. Can we get that? Just
holy.
And they owe us. Think about how much they owe us.
Bro, what? What? Man, listen. How many of our players have been at the altar of those sacrifices? We've sacrificed so many players at the altar of the football gods that at this point, they need this. This got to be a season of injury-free season for us, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, it has to be.
Come on. Man.
We've suffered enough. The fan base, the franchise, everybody's. Jeez. We've suffered enough. Come on, please, give us a break.
Imagine, you took away the player that was the hottest player in the NFL when he just started taking over. You took him away from us last year. What? I mean,
imagine if he kept playing. If he was healthy the whole season, we've said it. They'd probably in the playoffs last year.
Yep. Yeah, he was getting hot, man. He was starting to see these. The thing was, his vision was getting better and better, and it was like, and the his talent is so incredible that the slightest hole had him running for 40 yards.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it wasn't even a massive hole, and he was like 40 yards downfield. Imagine if it was a big hole, you know. And then we lost our best offensive lineman.
Same game.
Yeah.
Right, the Denver game.
That was sick.
Same game. We lost our two best players.
Sick. So, so football gods, if you're listening,
right,
we have sacrificed enough great players at your altars. I think it's time you bless us with a season sparing us injury, because this is the perfect time for it. And thank you in advance.
And also, everybody says Joe Namath, you know, sold his soul to win the Super Bowl, right? Super Bowl III. Well, you know what? I'll take one for the team. I'll sell my soul for the Jets to win a Super Bowl. So if that person is out there, you got my soul. Just give us a Super Bowl, and we got to.
I listen. Whoever, don't take my boy's soul, man. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Joe Namath is doing pretty good for his soul being taken.
Hey,
that's all I gotta say.
I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying
a pretty
that.
Good life. I'll take his life any day, man.
Hey, that is true.
And all.
Hey, this guy, the way he, yeah, I mean. I would take that life too.
Hell yeah.
but yeah, man, enough is enough, man. Enough is enough. Let the chips fall where they may, but that's like it. Take away the injuries, you know. Give us one season, man.
That's it, man. We got a shot. Now we got a shot. I feel like we're in the conversation. Like, we got our ticket now. We just gotta get through.
Talking about tickets, my friend. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the last couple of years we've been going to opening day, mm-hmm. and we promised that we weren't going to go again.
I think we're going to have to go again.
I think we're going again.
One more time.
One more time. Yeah. I've actually reached out to our friend. We're not going to mention names. And as soon as it could go through, it's promised that we're going to get first dibs. So
beautiful.
Yep.
All right. Awesome.
We're doing it. We're doing it, man.
All right, here.
Because that's how it is.
All right, so let's break down the actual trade, because I want to talk to you about it, the good, the bad, you know, all that stuff. So basically it was the Green Bay Packers. They received our second round pick this year.
Yeah.
Our number one, possibly, for next year. It's a second rounder this year.
Mm-hmm.
The 42nd overall.
42nd, yes. Mm-hmm.
42nd overall. And
a sixth round pick.
Right. Hold on. I had it right here.
Yeah, the Jets get
All right, the Packers get the They get we swap picks in the first round. I'm sorry. We swap our picks, right? We give them our 13th. They give us our 15th.
Right.
We also give them our second round pick, number 42. That was one of our second round picks. And we also give them a sixth round pick from this year, number 207. And then conditional
second
the second round pick for next year. I'm sorry. That becomes the one if Rodgers plays 65% of the plays. So that's basically like 11 games. So keep that in mind. I'm sure he'll be healthy. So let's call it a first rounder. What we get back is their 15th this year instead of our 13th. And we get a fifth round pick this year.
A fifth round pick, yes.
Number 170 overall. So
what
are your thoughts on the trade itself?
I'm disappointed. I don't get me wrong. I am incredibly happy that Aaron Rodgers is here. Everybody can tell that I am. But if you're negotiating with a team that has no other avenues to trade a player that they have to pay a significant amount of money to, I would think that you would have some kind of leverage. I mean, not all, but right? Chris?
Oh, yeah.
you would have some kind of leverage a little bit. But they did not. But it seemed like they didn't, because I think the process was fumbled. I think in a lot of ways, what the owner of the Jets said, what the GM said, a lot of the ways that this was handled was kind of basically put the situation in on an equal playing field, when I think that it wasn't in a lot of ways. If you're listening to what Aaron Rodgers is saying now, that he might play 1, 2, 3 years, then it makes a little bit more sense. But still, it does. It's still the thing that kind of sticks in my craw is the 2024 second that turns into a first, and with the loose 65%, starts, percentage of his starts, that don't make any sense to me. Aaron Rodgers is not a player that does not play 65% of his snaps. He's always consistently played more than that. So that's not even, in my opinion, a protection of injury protection. That's incredibly low bar to cross, in my opinion. So that's not even an issue. So I don't even understand why that was in the deal at all. So I think the Jets fumbled this situation a little bit, and having to pay more for him than they should have, given the situation, the Green Bay situation with the money, and that they had to trade him out. But overall, as much as everything I said is true, the fact that the Jets have Aaron Rodgers in house is incredible. You got to point out things for what they are. And I am disappointed that we had to give up this much, but I am also happy that we have Aaron Rodgers in house.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't like the two becoming a one. Same way, the loose, like, it's too easy to become a one.
65%.
It would have been, they probably tried it to say, okay, if we make the playoffs, or if we make the championship game, or so, I'm sure they said that at first, so that's why, though, it was a long process, to come up with an agreement. The one thing that I'm upset about too, I know the time frame was not ideal, right? That it took so long. It took almost 2 months to get done. I get it, but I'm sure Green Bay was asking for a lot more than what they ended up.
I was just about to say.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
So I'm sure there was a lot of back and forth. But the one thing I didn't like was that we didn't get any insurance in case he doesn't play past this year. Even though he said it in the press conference and the interviews, this is not a 1 year thing. This is a commitment. But we know how he's been doing his business the last few years. He's kind of on his own on his own plateau, or in his own world. So that's the only thing that bothers me. But maybe they believe in, maybe they believe that he's going to be here for at least 2 years. If he's here for at least 2 years, then you know what? I'm okay with this trade. I feel okay with it. We got a guy
that
gives us a shot, right?
Yep.
Because like I said earlier, we could have went the cheaper route and said, okay, let's trade for Ryan Tannehill. And you know what? We'll be a playoff team with this guy. As long as he stays healthy, we'll be and of course the rest of the team, if we stay healthy, we'll be a playoff team with Ryan Tannehill. I have no doubt in my mind we will be. But I know also in my mind, we're not going to go far with Ryan Tannehill in the playoffs, because he can't go toe-to-toe with the big boys. He can't go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, with Joe Burrow, and Trevor Lawrence now, or Josh Allen. He can't go toe-to-toe with those guys. Our defense will keep us in the game, but eventually we're going to need that guy to take us down the field, with under 2 minutes left, and he's not that guy. So, yeah, we spent more for Rodgers. I'm not happy about giving giving him a first round pick next year, or two this year. And, you know, I'm not happy about that, but I'm happy we got Rodgers. And if that's what it costs, then listen, like I said, we got a shot now. We got a shot at the big dance. And that's what I want. I want a shot.
I agree with you. I think it's up to Joe Douglas now to take what we have and make the best of it. It would have ended up being it that anyway if they had made out and only given the Packers a 2 and probably a 3 next year or something like that, and I would be happy. Right. But it still has to be done. He still has to execute this and this draft and the next draft to make sure that this team going forward remains competitive. So as much as I am disappointed in the way that the process was made and what became of it, I'm not a stick in the mud about the whole thing. You know what I mean? I am still enjoying the fact that Aaron Rodgers is here, and I'm happy that he is. And I think they still have, like I said, I side with you. I think that they are going to be competitive coming down the, you know, and the fact that he pointed out that he's going to stay around and he's going to have fun meeting his teammates and connecting with them, which is something that a lot of people pointed out that might be an issue. You know, I think that's a plus for the Jets going forward. So it is, you know, you got to take the you got to take the good with the bad. And in my opinion, even as much as I did not like the way the process went, the end goal was to get this guy here. He's here. Let's move forward. Let's execute the draft and execute the rest of free agency. Execute the preseason. Execute and see how far this team could go for this year's football season.
And you know what? I didn't like ESPN put up like who won this trade. Like, how do you, it, you can't go by that yet. Like, you don't know what's going to happen in the next.
Nobody knows. Two.
Right. Like, it's so hard to predict because, all right, with the Jets, for them, for this to be a positive trade, like to win the trade, they would have to go to at least the AFC Championship game. I would think the Super Bowl, but if they get to the AFC Championship game and they lost to, you know, Patrick Mahomes there or Joe Burrow, all right. Mm-hmm. You know what? At least we lost to the best. But, and then look at Green Bay. If Green Bay, and I think this way, I think both teams can win this trade if everything works out right. Like here, if with us, if we get to at least the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, yeah, I think we won the trade because that's what we wanted. And on the other side, if Green Bay hits on the two picks that they got from us, the two high picks, I mean, and if Jordan Love turns into a franchise quarterback, then yeah, they won that trade because that's what they wanted. So, right. And they got rid of a player that didn't want to play for them anymore. They got rid of his contract or whatever. So they won the trade. No matter what we do, they won their side of the trade. If all that works for them, if Jordan Love becomes that franchise quarterback they think he's going to be, and if they hit on those two picks that they got from us, the two high ones, then they won. And if we get to the Super Bowl, God, you know, praying, please. Or if we get to the AFC Championship game, if we get to that, then you know what? We won the trade too. So there's a chance that we both win this trade. So to say, you know, oh, they get an A or they get a C for this trade, it's, I didn't like that at all. I was just like, you don't know. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, you know the reasons behind this. You know, most of our population, you need instant gratification, and that's what it, you know, kind of plays to.
Right.
But everybody that knows anything would know that this nobody will know anything about the specifics of this until, you know, the rubber meets the road, and the rubber doesn't meet the road until Aaron Rodgers starts games for the Jets in 2023. So we'll and Jordan Love does the same for the Packers. So that it's a wait and see approach in my opinion. And today in this society, everybody needs to know everything now.
Right.
And nothing really works that way. So
no. Can we just enjoy the ride?
You know, let's do it. Let's enjoy the ride. I think part of the conversation also, just to move the conversation forward a little bit, was the fact that Aaron Rodgers sounded like he has embraced the opportunity to mentor Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
And that to me was an enjoyable thing to hear. Because if any player could ever impart the kind of knowledge that he would need to infuse some kind of life into whatever the hell is remaining of Zach Wilson's confidence, I think Aaron Rodgers could, not because of the kind of player he is, but what he means to Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson said point blank that that's his favorite quarterback, and he basically fashioned a lot of his quarterback game around what Aaron Rodgers is as a quarterback. So, yeah, I loved what he said about Aaron Rodgers, about the Aaron Rodgers said about mentoring Zach Wilson.
He said he's going to make my life hell in practice. I'm going to make his life heaven off the field. Whatever that means. It sounds okay.
it sounds great in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, here's what I wanted to ask you. Now that the trade was done,
that
we moved a couple of spots down in the draft, does this, like, now we're picking 15th instead of 13th, and I think Joe Douglas, I heard in an interview yesterday or today, he said now instead of ranking our top 13 players, now we got to pick our top 15 players in the draft and hope that one of them is there, right? So,
right.
How different do you think this goes for the Jets? Like, we were thinking tackle at 13, most likely, you know, Darnell Wright. I think we had Darnell Wright going to them.
Yes.
So what do you think goes on now? Like, do you think this changes things?
Slightly. The teams you're talking about that's drafting 14 just happened to be the Patriots, right?
Yep.
So now you have to contend with the fact that they might have the same view of whatever player you want to drop into your lap at 15. If you're looking at tackle, the Patriots need tackle help, and Darnell Wright, in my opinion, would probably fit what the Patriots would want to do. I think I pointed out the fact that his lack of athleticism. I'm not saying he completely lacks athleticism, but he is not on the same level of a Paris Johnson when it comes to moving. But I think the player, I've come to the decision that, I think I had this conversation with Luke Grant. A little bit about Broderick Jones, and I have moved back and forth on him a lot. I felt like it's possible that he could be, you could basically turn him into something, as a coach. The problem with turning him into something, the more I think about it, is that it would take time, because the part of his game that's issue is incredibly technical, and he hasn't shown an aptitude to being incredibly technical. And to turn a player into a technical player is something that you need the atmosphere and the right coach. And I don't know if this is it for him in New York. You take a chance on a player like that, where you basically kind of have to turn him into it. We don't have that kind of time, though. When you're talking about what we have here in New York, what's the plan for the next couple of years. So you want a little bit more of something that's closer to a finished product, in my opinion. And to me, Wright is better. And I just think that the point of Wright dropping to us is probably has diminished because of the fact that we're picking after the Patriots, and there's a possibility that they might go tackle and Wright won't be available to us. So I think that's something we should really entertain. So I've also seen people talk about the Jaxon Smith-Njigba probably getting being the one to pick being picked there, and that's fine because he, you know, flashy pick, you know, a lot of touchdowns, the great wide receiver group, and all that. The problem is, again, I think we said that last week when we spoke about this. The need at linebacker is greater. It's just greater, in my opinion. And then when you drop down to 15, I think it gives you a little bit more of a shot at picking linebacker and not feeling like you gave too much of a reach, you know, you reach too far for a player. And a player like Campbell, in my opinion, could be the kind of player you fit at that position. So I think they entertain a player like that at that time.
Right.
And that was the next thing I was going to say. That's also a possibility. If they do not like any of the players that they have up there, possibly trading down and acquiring more than one player is something that Joe Douglas might do, because that's who he is, right? He is about acquiring talent, and he's shown that in a lot of ways. Even the pick now at 43, there's even a possibility that he trades down to acquire more talent. So it's be interesting to see what his mindset is going forward, what he wants to do. So I'd love to see that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think what Connor Rogers tweeted, something that fits this perfect, what you're talking about. He says, how the Jets view Duane Brown this year is a massive variable in their draft. If ultra confident in him for 2023, they can center in on just talent with Kancey, JSN, edge rusher, or at pick 15 and look to grab a developmental offensive lineman at 43 instead.
Mm.
What do you think of that?
What he said, he didn't lie. There's no lie in anything he said. I think it's definitely, I think not only just that one player, I think it goes with everybody. I think what they think or what their position is on Mekhi Becton and what their position is on these other guys, it matters a lot in what they do going forward. I think a proper evaluation of those players is basically going to kind of direct them on what they do next for this year. So again, given the fact that you have Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, I think your thinking kind of changes slightly. So basically, in my opinion, you most definitely would probably shift a little bit in your view, in your vision, not greatly, but enough that you would probably look elsewhere. You know, so I agree with Connor Rogers says. I definitely do.
Yeah, I do too. I think it depends on how they view Duane Brown. If they're like, all right, he's good, he's our left tackle, no doubt, he'll be fine, all that, then that 15 becomes more of an open, like he said, basically best player available at that spot, or it could be a trade down, you know, because now we could use a couple extra picks, right? So trading down may not be a bad thing, but it really depends on how it falls. You know, like we're seeing, and you know this, every year we see this, everybody's predicting different, totally different drafts, the first top 10 or 15 picks. Like, you know, the quarterback's going to go 3 out of the 4 picks. Oh, no, maybe one of them's going to last to like 7 or 8, you know, and that just pushes everything else down. And maybe one of the top tackles does fall to us. You never know. I don't think so, but we've seen strange things happen in the draft where we're like, what happened? You know, like, why did this guy fall? Like just last year, Jermaine Johnson falling to what did we trade up for him? It's 29 or 30.
Yeah. Yep.
Nobody thought that, right? We had him like top 10, mm-hmm. top 15 at the worst. So anything is possible. And thankfully the draft is tomorrow. So we don't have to,
we don't have to wait for too long for this. No. Yeah.
But thankfully the Rodgers thing is done and we're set, man. We got a quarterback. Finally, we got our center. He's back in the fold, which is awesome.
Yes.
So, all right. I think we're all set. You got our draft, our mock draft last week. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the draft, and we'll be back next week, and we'll be talking about who we got in the draft. Hopefully, it's all good players. We'll see you then.
Yeah, we will. We will definitely have a great conversation about what the Jets did in the draft. It will shine a incredibly bright light on what their mindset is going forward. Yeah. So it'll be a pretty interesting conversation. I mean, we can't wait to have you guys. Let's have another conversation about this and going forward, what it looks like and what the front office is thinking. So, thank you again for listening to us, man, and hanging out with us, every episode. We do this for fun. Mm-hmm. We love this, and we also love having you with us.
Yep. Thank you. We're almost up to 100 too, by the way. I think we've got one or two more. Yeah. So, which is pretty amazing. I think that's pretty awesome for us. But anyway,
yes,
we will see you guys next week.